Praise God. You're listening to Kingdom Concepts. I'm Keith Fields, and thanks for tuning in. It's good to be speaking with you again. God is great, and His mercy endures forever. How excellent is His name in all of the earth. Amen. You know, it doesn't make any difference whether we want to believe the Word of God, if we want to doubt the Word of God. It doesn't make any difference if we are in flux about what the Word of God is. God's Word is still true, and it is established forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for everything that you've bestowed upon us, the freedom and liberty that we have to worship. We thank you for the food that you've given us, and we pray for those that are in need, Lord God, and that you would give us the ability and the heart to provide and to minister to those needs as we have the ability, as you give us the ability, Lord God. Give us your eyes, give us your heart, give us your arms, Lord God, that we will see the way that you see, Lord God. That we will love the way that you love, Lord God. And that we will reach who it is that you would have us to reach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18 through 21 is God's law. We are talking about, today we're going to talk about God's law. We're going to talk about the significance and the use of God's law, what it's intended for, and why it is important that we understand the purpose of God's law. Now let's look at Deuteronomy 21. Verses 18 through 21. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Amen. Strong, strong words. But how many people know that our God is strong, that our God is mighty? Those are his laws, his statutes, his judgments. He created us, and he created a world for us to be in, and he created perfectly. And it was man that transgressed. It was man that sinned. It was man that went against God's law, because he was leaning to his own understanding, because God's creation fell for the lie. God's creation was victim of the deception. And God's creation, man, went outside of the boundaries that God had established for them. And the curse entered in upon man and upon the world. It wasn't because God hated man. God loved man. And he gave man a choice. And he gave man boundaries. But because of the deception and because of the lie, because man's desires, they were led astray. Now, let's look at this, at these scriptures again, and let's try to bring this into context. Let's try to look at this in terms of where we live today. Now, we're talking about a rebellious son. And let's just make this all-inclusive, because we know that there's rebellious daughters, too. Okay, so without adding to or taking away from the Word of God, because it does say son here, doesn't it? And there's a reason why it says son, because God does not do anything without a purpose. And his word has purpose. And his word has authority. And his word is set forth for a reason. And that is for our good, to teach us. And it's to show us his nature and to show us our nature. It's to teach us how to live and how to be right in right relationship with God and man and the world. Amen. That's the truth. So it does say son here, and we know that men and women are different. We know that men have play certain roles in society, as do women. We want to talk about equality and all of that. Well, on some levels, there is equality, because we're all God's creation. And there is equality because God has given us all purpose, male or female. There is equality because he has filled us all that believe in him and that obey his commandments. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit can bring us to glory and we can be led out of dark places, yes. So, in a lot of ways, there is equality, but there are differences. When a man and a woman come together, a lot of times a woman naturally looks for the man to fulfill certain roles in their relationship and in their lives, and vice versa. So we won't even go into trying to argue that men and women are not the same, that men and women are the same totally. We will come from the belief that there are differences, and those differences are ordained of God and are good. Okay, so this is talking about a son that is rebellious. And so the people of God are being instructed that if this son is rebellious and he won't listen, he won't obey their voice, because the commandment of God is for the children to obey their father and mother, to honor their father and mother. And there's a promise that goes along with that, a reward for doing that. And it is that it will go well with you in the land, and that you will have long life. So this is for the benefit of the person and the world. It's not just because God wants to tell people what to do. It's obvious here when you study the scriptures and when you understand God's word, is that it's for our benefit that he's giving these laws. So when they won't obey, when they won't listen, the parents are to chasten them. The scripture teaches that if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. The scripture is not telling you to abuse and attack your children. The scripture teaches that we raise them up in the love and the admonition of the Lord. The scripture teaches us to be in subjection, obedience of the word of God, what God has said. And so when the children are out of line, we are to encourage them and correct them and help them to come back in line with what God says. And one of the ways that we do that, besides spanking them and chastening them and everything, is by living a life that they can see, and creating an environment that they live, the environment that they live in. We create an environment that is pleasing to God and is conducive to them growing up and understanding the things of God and living according to the things of God. So after the parents have spoken to the child and corrected the child, and the child does not listen, still will not obey, then the scripture says that his father and mother will lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. Now, I was doing some research, and in the course of doing this research, I came upon a phenomenon, and I don't know, I didn't really get really, really deep into it, but just from a real quick look into it, I saw something that I wasn't aware of, and that was these things called flash mob robberies. And apparently, they've been going on for quite a few years. I haven't traced it back to its origin or how it operates totally or anything like that, but just in context of what we're talking about here, I'd like to bring it up and say that what seems to be going on is that people are organizing mob activities, mob robberies and assaults by using social media. So what they'll do is, through different social media sites, they will advise each other of the times and the places that they will meet or converge upon, and at what time. And hundreds of people will show up at a certain place, at a certain time, all agreeing to take part in criminal activities. Maybe they'll rob a place, just go in. I saw some examples of where people just came together and they overwhelmed the store. They just walked into a clothing store and just started taking things off the racks. And in 5 minutes, they had stolen so many $1,000 worth of, I think it was $20,000 worth of merchandise in a time span of like 5 minutes. And they had it on video. And you just saw people just going through the store, picking up whatever they want, and they left. And it happened so abruptly and so quickly that there was no police response. The store attendants were overwhelmed because of the amount of people that had converged inside of the store that they couldn't do anything. And so this type of thing has been going on. One place, it was a state fair, and I believe they said it was like a 1,000 people. This was a flash mob had gotten together and converged on a state fair, and they were pulling people out of cars and robbing them and beating them up and things like that. Well, here's the thing. Is that they're saying that most of these people, I was getting the impression from what I heard, from what I read and what I saw, was that they were all young people, meaning teenagers and the like. So, I'm bringing this up to shed light on this thing about the law of God, discipline, and rebellion. Here in the scripture, it's telling us that if we chastise our children and they don't listen, that then we should bring them out to the elders. We should get them and take them to the elders in the city. Now, the elders represent a rank. They had rank. They were the elders. When we look at societies that were that the family structure and connections were strong, when we look at the way God set up the laws for his people, we see that family and community was respected. And so the elders were sort of like judges and police, almost like a court at times. They would observe what was going on in the marketplace, and if people felt cheated or whatever, or you know, they might settle disputes. They might sit there and they might talk about important things, reason among each other to gain understanding of what the implications of God's laws and what was going on in their communities. And they were just the elders that had a sense of responsibility in the communities, and they were active there, and the people were able to come to them and have disputes and taken care of, and they were able to be given leadership and advice. Well, when it gets to the point that your children aren't listening, you bring them there. Isn't it interesting that in our society today, as we have rejected the Word of God, separation of church and state and all of that, we've had leaders that have stood before the world and laughed at laws like these and saying that there's no way we could govern by these laws. Laughing at the Sermon on the Mount, saying that if we formed our public policy according to the Sermon on the Mount, we would fail. We have a society, a leadership in this world that proudly and without reservation rejects God's law. We have schools that refuse to teach it. We have a situation to where children are routinely exposed to all types of things, and all types of things are condoned, and the Word of God is rejected and refuted and challenged. So, in our day of that rebellion to God's Word, we're looking at situations to where we have flash mobs of children going out and creating havoc in our communities. Now, the last thing that we will do is make any correlation or connection to the rebellion of God's Word to these events. We have a situation to where parents are afraid to spank their children, and the Word of God says that if you spank your child, you won't kill them. If you spank them, actually what the scripture says in the Bible that I read, which is the King James Version, it says that if you beat your child with the rod, you won't kill them, and that you're delivering their souls from hell. And it says don't worry about their crying. And it says that if you do that, you love your child. Now, it doesn't say kill your child, lock them up in a cage, you know, make them crawl around on rice or all these strange things, you know, to them. You know, it's talking about getting their attention and letting them know that they need to listen to what you're saying and they need to do it now. And if they don't, then they're taken out to the elders. Why? Because now I know that there are times when people can get to the point of when they say, you know what, I cannot do anything else with this child. I have spanked them. I have punished them. We don't live like that in our home. That's not the way it is in our home. And the only thing left to do is to bring them out to the elders and let someone else talk to them, someone that they don't know, and someone that is impartial and dedicated to God's Word. Now, here's the interesting thing. After all of this, after parents are discouraged from following God's Word, after the rejection and rebellion of God's Word is made public and proudly rebelled against by our leaders, and as people are influenced to to rebel against God's word. There is still a system that parallels this, because now these flash mobs came out and the children did all this stuff, and so they had a press conference, and the police officer came out and he said, you know what? He said, if you don't correct your children, and if your children are going wild and they're doing this kind of stuff, if you don't do anything with them, well, I tell you what, when we get a hold of them, we have ways of dealing with them, and it's not going to be so pleasant. So, we know for a fact that at the same time, the parents are afraid and discouraged from spanking their children, and they hide it in their houses, and afraid to let anyone know that they spank their children. When their children get caught by the police or the authorities or the elders of this society, so to speak, the ones that are sitting out in the gate monitoring the activities, the ones that are judging and solving disputes, when they get a hold of them, do they spank them? Do they beat them with a rod or a club or a taser? Or do they shoot them? Do they lock them up in handcuffs and drag them and bend their arms out of socket and break their bones? Bust, knock their teeth out, hit their heads up against curbs. 9, 10 of them kneeling on their chest and squeezing the life out of them. And then when the community says, why did you do that? Hey, it was all in the line of duty. The person was disturbing the peace. They were violating the rights of the people of the community. So then they take it upon themselves to do whatever they feel is appropriate, and they will use force, and that is what their authority is based on, force. So, what am I saying? It is still in line with God's word, except it's not done in love, and it's not giving credit to God. But they are still using, as the scripture says, fear and punishment to get the children in line. In other words, as the scripture says, in verse 20, and they shall say unto the elders of the city, this son is stubborn and the rebellious, he will not obey our voice, he is a glutton and drunken and a drunkard. And in verse 21 it says, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones. Now, I just told you that, and you well know that a stone, throwing a stone at someone and stoning them to death is a terrible fate. And so is having a 250-pound man kneeling on your throat until you can't breathe. You know, stoning somebody is painful, but so is having handcuffs on you so tight that it cuts off the circulation on your hands, and being drugged by the chain on the handcuffs with your arms bending out of socket. I'm not saying these things to present the police force in an unfavorable light. I'm not saying these things to condemn the police force. What I'm saying is that God has already said that the child should be stoned so that he should die. Why? It says, so shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but I can tell you one thing. I know if I lived in a community and I saw somebody get stoned to death because they would not obey their parents, I know if I was a young person, I would obey my parents, simple as that. And I know that I wouldn't want to be one of the people stoning somebody's kid, because I know that that is going to break a parent's heart. How can a parent take their child out and ask, knowing that they could get stoned? Do you think people would just grab their child and run out there just because their child wouldn't eat their cornflakes? You know, just because their child got in a fight? You think they're going to bring their children out to the elders of the city to be stoned to death? I don't. I think love is going to be in there too. And so there's going to be an amount of discretion involved, but there's always going to be someone who is going to go outside of the boundaries. It's always going to be someone that is going to as the scripture says, a fool's bet calls for stripes. So there has to be some type of remedy, some type of way of dealing with this type of thing. So, it looks like I'm running out of time, but what I'd like to do is just bring everything to a close and just make one single point. The Word of God is true. And He has set that law in place so that no man would be justified, that every mouth should be stopped, that no flesh could glory in His presence. But the good news is that you don't have to be condemned and suffer condemnation, because there's no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. We can accept that sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made, and in the eyes of God, be forgiven for our sins. You've been listening to Kingdom Concepts. My name is Keith Fields. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good day.